glory of God and have all sinned. So we all deserve eternal death. But is that it? What else is there? Jesus. How so? How so? What about Jesus? He died. What Michael said is he died for our sins. He took our punishment so that God would be completely just. And so he's just in that he punishes sin with death, but he took our punishment and he put it on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ took our punishment on the cross. The rest of Romans 6:23 says, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. And so that as our God is just, he is also gracious. And that grace is only through who? Jesus Christ. And so we... And so... Comments going on. But, so like, you know our superheroes and the guys we look up to and want to be like that? You know, they fight for good and they do good things. But no amount of good things will get them to heaven. No amount of good can we do will get us to heaven. It is only the free gift of God and his grace that gets us to heaven. Because he's just, and when we sin, we deserve death. But thanks be to God, through Christ, we have salvation. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a just God. Father, that you are what is right, and you stand for that. Father, and your word has been from the beginning and will be forever. But Father, we thank you for Christ, and that as we are sinners, Father, as we are adulterers, and Father, we who run from you and deserve death, that you sought us out in Christ. And he took our punishment, Father, so that we may have eternal life. We thank you. Teach us more about yourself. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Good evening. That's the normal welcome, right? Good evening. Not quite evening yet, but it's getting there. Man, it's a blessing to be here tonight. And I look out into the crowd there. Got a friend from high school, Sammy. You know, thanks for coming out. Don't tell nobody nothing. That's a different person. So it's just cool just to see some other people here that kind of knew me before and stuff. And he's a good friend of mine. I think he lives around here, so he come check us out. And glad to have you. Like I said, just keep it quiet, you know, if anybody asks you. Well, it is a pleasure to be here tonight. We're here to glorify God, right? Okay, amen. And tonight we're going to continue in our series. If you're visiting with us tonight, we've been going through a series called Genuine. And it's so important that we be genuine because the lost and dying world did not need to see any more fake Christians. Okay? And so Genuine is the name. We went through a variety of things. Genuine love, worship, leadership, relationships, morality. And last week David talked about proclamation. And then tonight we're going to get to talk about justice and judgment. Man, I get all the good ones, don't I? But I'm going to tell you, we're going to find out something in that God loves you. Okay? And I want you to know that tonight before we even get started, God loves you. No matter where you're at, no matter what you've done, God loves you. Okay? And so we're going to start out Malachi chapter 3, and we get the one verse, okay? Genuine justice, and the title of my message tonight is Genuine Justice is Focused on Trusting God. Okay? We're going to clear some of that up in a little bit, but I want to read the scripture first. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the aliens of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. Let me pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. Again, I say that it's a pleasure, God, to be here in your house serving an amazing God. And so, God, I pray that in this message on justice and judgment, God, that we will realize that the only way that we can ever accept who you are and the things that you do and we don't have any way of understanding you is that if we trust you, God. And so I pray tonight, Lord, if there's anybody here tonight, Lord, that just for some reason just cannot grab their mind around what it's like to trust you, Lord. I pray that you would do a work in here tonight, Lord. And so I know, Lord, that the devil does not want people to get your message of love, Lord. And so I pray, Lord, that you would intercede and speak tonight. Amen. And so we're going to do a little bit of review. I've got one verse, Brother David did last week, I think 1 through 4. But I want to review just a little bit because I think we really need to tie some of the stuff that he told us in to this week. Okay, if you missed it, maybe we're not going to preach his sermon because he did a really good job. I don't want to mess all that up. All right. Okay. We learned last week that God's desire for his people is to have clean hearts and live upright and righteous lives so we can genuinely proclaim to a watching world that we serve an amazing and powerful God. See, God wants us to live upright and righteous lives so that we can genuinely proclaim. Because that's what David talked about. Like our lives are proclaiming something. Okay, the only way that we can genuinely proclaim what God wants to proclaim is if we do things God's way. Okay, so we genuinely proclaim that. Okay, a God who loves us so much that he sent his son to die as a sacrifice for our sins. See, God loves you that much. But although he loves us where we are, David talked about this last week. He also loves us too much to let us stay that way. Okay? So we also learned last week that God is in the refining business. Okay? In Malachi 3:3, I got the Living Bible translation because I liked one of the things that it said in there. It said, he will purify the Levites, the ministers of God, refine them like gold and silver, so that they will do their work for God with pure hearts. See, God's in the refining business, and it says he purifies the Levites. Those were the religious folks. So God's going to start his purification with the body. Okay, judgment begins with the household of God, okay? If we can't get it right in here, there's no way we're going to get it right out there, okay? And we really can't expect people without the Spirit of God to get it right, okay? But we have to start. He's coming to us. Malachi is coming to these believers, and he's telling them, look, these are some things that you got to do. And David talked about some things that we got to get rid of. The reason I use that Living Bible translation says, so that they will do their work for God with pure hearts. See, we do a lot of work for God, but God is concerned with why we do what we do. He's concerned with our hearts, okay? And he does this purification and this refining by adding heat. And I love the analogy that we had last week. It says that God is sitting there. Okay, he's sitting there adding heat like a silversmith refines silver, and he's just sitting there watching us really, really close, and he's applying heat to our lives, so the things in our life that need to go will come to the top. And God, in his grace and his mercy, he's sitting over there, and every time some of that nasty stuff comes, he says, "Ooh, that's got to go. That's got to go. That's got to go." And seeing God may be doing some refining in some of your hearts tonight, and he may tell you some things that's got to go. David talked about a variety of different things. We're not going to re-preach his message, okay? But the fact is that God's there, okay? And so his presence tells us something, okay? And I think we're going to learn about God's presence. It tells us two things about God. His presence tells us that he cares. All right, he's right there next to us going through that. He's putting us through the thing and refining us. And he cares, okay? That's a loving God. That's the one everybody wants, you know? That's that loving God, the one that loved us and died for us. But there's also another reason his presence is important. Because he sees what's going on. See, we're going to talk about genuine justice tonight. See, we got two sides of God. We got the loving God, and then we got a God of justice. Okay, a God of justice, a God that expects obedience, a God of wrath. We talk about a God of wrath. Okay, we don't like to talk about that side of God, but I'm going to tell you what: if we don't talk about that side of God, we have misrepresented God. Okay, because there's two sides of God that we really have to grasp a hold of. Okay, and through some of these situations, we're going to talk about the balance and how these things work out. Two sides of God. Okay, because you can't have God as just your Savior. Okay. When you accept him as your Savior, you also saying, I'm your Lord. He's my Lord, okay? You got to have both sides of God, all right? And he's also, while he's there, he's saying, well, you can't fool God. You know, his presence is saying, you ain't fooling me, so quit trying, okay? And there's some reasons for this purification, okay? We talked about last week, We are His messengers. That's why He purifies us, because we're the tool that He's going to send out to this world to proclaim this good news, okay? We're the tool that He's going to do that. And if we're all dirty and stuff, we're not proclaiming anything worth listening to, okay? So He wants to purify us. He wants to get things out of our life so we can be the messengers that He's called us to be. And God in His grace is another reason for the purification. God in His grace is preparing us for judgment. Okay, Christ's return. We learned last week that you got the first coming of Christ. Okay, in John 12:46-47, the first coming of Christ, Jesus said that He came to save and to remove those from darkness. See, the first coming of Christ had nothing to do with judgment. Okay, Christ came to let you know about the judgment. He came so that He would give us the means and the information that we need to make sure that when judgment comes, we're ready. Okay, that's why He came the first time. And then we see the other side in Revelation 19, the second coming. And He's going to come on a white horse with a sword. I mean, you read Revelation 19, He's coming to judge those. And He's coming to judge everyone, okay? But what's cool about our God, and what's cool about Malachi, and He's going through this process, and He's trying to let us in on what's going on, He's giving us the answers to the test before we even take it. You ever taken an open book test? All Christianity is open book test. You just need to open your book. Okay? It's all in there. It's in there. Okay? You need to open your book. The reason you're failing is because you ain't opening your book. All right? And I used to have a health teacher in high school. Sam, you remember Dr. Rideout? Man, Doc Rideout, he was really cool because, see, Doc Rideout used to run track and he had a twin brother. And if you just get him talking about track, we just watch track movies and never learn nothing about health. So, that was really cool, you know. We never learn anything, but then we get to the test and we don't know nothing, you know. But the other cool thing about Doc Rideout, and I think the reason that I wanted to use this, it just came to mind, is I remember as we were taking the test, I go through the test, and I learned through other people, maybe even Sammy, I don't know, you know. I learned through other people that if you'll just ask Doc, what I do, I say, Doc, man, I just can't understand what you're trying to ask in this question. And Doc would say, well, I just put this. Answer to the test. Amazing, amazing, you know. I would. And so he would do that, and I was thinking, man, Doc really wants me to pass. Am I that bad? What, is it that he don't want me to come back next year? Because I'll just put this, I don't have to mess with you next year. Okay, I don't know if that's a great way to teach, but what I learned from that this week is that whether that was a good way to teach or not, Doc was going to be the one grading the test. Okay? And he's the one that gave me the answer, the right answer to the test. And I wasn't real smart to begin with, but I was smart enough to figure out I need to write down what Doc said, okay? And so that's what I'm trying to say. God has given us the answers to this test, and we'd be foolish not to do what He says. Because He's going to be the one who judges. He's going to be the one who does the test, okay? He's going to be the one to do the justice and the judgment, okay? So we'd be foolish not to do it God's way, all right? But He's a good teacher, and He loves us. God loves us. And one thing I learned from Michelle Tipton one time talking about tests. And good teachers, if you're a good teacher, you don't want your kids to fail, okay? And you don't test them on things that you haven't already taught them or that they shouldn't already know, okay? No good teacher will just try to trip people up, okay? God's not trying to trip you up. See, he's trying to get you. You should already have some of the answers to the test. He will not test you in something that He hadn't taught you, okay? I believe that with all my heart. But there are things called faith tests. Because a faith, I'm going to just tell you this right now, a faith that's not tested, it's not faith. It's just a mindset. It's not faith, you know. Until you allow God to work a miracle in your finances. You know, we deal with finances, stuff like that all the time. Finances, okay. God, I believe Your word says this, and You're going to take care of me and everything. But I don't have money this week. I think I'll go get a loan, okay. That there's a faith test that God puts in us sometimes to where we want to trust Him. See, that happened with me in my business. Got a little low on money, and I decided the loan was the thing to do. God said, uh-uh. No, you don't need no loan. You need to trust Me. You know, and I'm like, wait a minute. Loan works better. See how stupid I am, okay? I trusted God. He showed Himself faithful. I trust God with my finances now. See, so I passed that test. Some of y'all have anger problems, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, you will never get over your anger problems until you pass the test. Okay? And God gives you opportunity to get mad. All right? And so there's faith tests, and God wants you to pass. But he wants you to pass because he knows that cannot stay in a believer's life. Okay? That cannot stay. You've got to move to that next step. Okay? So we got to trust him. And so we got to trust his justice. And so we're going to talk about justice tonight. And so what is justice? What is this justice that we're talking about? I mean, to me, I look at justice and I think there's probably a variety of different things that you can talk about. And to me, justice is just what is right. The right thing. You know, what is the right thing? And really, as Christians, we have no ability to figure out the right thing apart from God. Okay? So to me, the right thing, justice, is God's judgment on the right thing. Dustin talked about, see, there's a payment required for an offense. A lot of times when you're wrong, there's some things that happen. Somewhere there has to be justice. Okay? And so there's a payment that has to be paid. But we've got to turn that over to what is right, but we've got to turn it over to what is God. And we're going to find out a little bit later, we really don't have the ability to understand God and his ways. And so we got to trust him that even if it doesn't look like or feel like or act like that the way that we would do it, we got to trust that's God's in control. Okay? And so that's a big thing. Another thing, part of justice is letting someone else punish the opposed. Okay? I talked about that in the little talk on forgiveness, the other thing. What we try to do is we try to do vengeance. See, vengeance is where we get to do the justice, okay? We're the ones imposing justice. But true biblical justice allows somebody else to do that, allows God to do that, see? So there's other areas in your life that may apply to, okay? But see, God gets his way. That's justice, okay? As a Christian, we sign up for this thing and we say, God, okay, I'm a Christian now, but I want to do things my way. No, true justice means that God gets his way, and I believe that he's earned the right. You know, okay? So God gets his way. And so we must trust God with the outcome in the lives of others, those that wrong us or whatever, and also in our lives as well. Because we must trust God. And so they went all of the trouble to get you all y'all's little bulletins, and so we're going to get to that part where you get to use it, all right? First part, and we're going to get into Malachi now. Genuine justice requires judgment. See, true justice, what we talked about, there's got to be some kind of payment paid. It requires judgment. God's judgment is a good thing, and it's also a bad thing. When God comes to you to judge you, it's either good or bad. It depends on you on that, okay? When God comes close to you to judge, we're going to talk about that in a minute, that he'll come near to us for judgment, all right? If you're not ready, God's judgment is bad. If you are ready, God's judgment is good. Bring it on, God, and I'm with you. You know, I'm obedient. You know, I don't get to say that very often, but every now and again I get to say that, okay? But God's judgment is good or bad. And so we're going to start. Malachi says, so I will come near to you for judgment. And I'm going to stop right there because when I read that, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, God, I got one verse. I really need to study real hard and, you know, make it last. That's not what I said. It just jumped out at me. You know, it says that I will come near to you for judgment. And as I've been meditating on this message and going back over it and over and over it, two things have been coming out. You know, the fact that we need to trust God, but then there's these two sides of God, like I talked about earlier. Okay? I will come near to you for judgment. I mean, the good side of God, that I will come near to you for judgment. It's kind of like this. It's like, we need to talk, you know? You need to talk. You know, I'll come near to you. And we were at Jordan Loop over there, and one of the leaders over there, one of the kids was acting up, you know, and I heard her say, hey, you need to come over here close to me so everybody don't hear what I got to tell you, okay? I will come near to you for judgment. Sometimes God just gets us close and says, wait a minute, hey, this is between me and you. We need to talk. You know, there's some things that you need to work on, okay? It's a private judgment. That's a judgment out of love. He's trying to give you the answers to the test. He just wants you to listen, okay? So that's the way God does on some of them. But then there's that, don't make me come over there. You know, I will come near to you because really, if you're not running from God, he don't have to chase you down. See, for God to come near to you, you've got to be in good relationship with him. And sin is the thing that messes up that relationship. But God will not let you live in your sin as a Christian. He will come after you. He is relentless. But don't make me come over there. You know, that's the same thing. I will come near to you for judgment. In a book I've been reading, "Our Awesome God, Our God Is Awesome" by Tony Evans. It's a lot of some of the stuff that I've been learning about God is just that God is so amazing and He's so awesome. And Tony writes in his book about God telling the truth. And I want to read out of his book. Okay, a little statement out of his book there. "Only one standard of information clarifies what life is all about, and that standard is the Word of God." Amen? All right, I got to see y'all wake up. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah? All right, amen. All right, good. All right, y'all be hallelujah, because we're going to have to keep y'all wake up. I see y'all. Don't nod on me, okay? All right. If we're going to live life authentically, we need someone who will tell us the truth. We don't do that with each other. We don't tell people the truth because we don't want to offend them. We don't tell the truth because we don't want them to get mad at us. We don't tell the truth because people like being lied to. No woman wants to ask, "How do I look in my new dress?" and get this response: "Worst thing I've ever saw in my life." I didn't say that. That's Tony. All right. Even though we may think a piece of clothing or a hairstyle may be the worst we have ever seen, we aren't about to say so because people don't want the truth. Okay? Therefore, our relationships are often shallow and never get to where they're supposed to be. I'm okay, you're okay. He tells you, but see, God don't do that. God, I don't miss the whole sentence right here, okay? You don't have that problem with God. God calls it like He sees it. He will not tell you, "I'm okay and you're okay." He tells you, "You're dead in your trespasses and your sins, and you live according to the flesh, according to the lust of this age." He is not going to make it comfortable or convenient for you. He doesn't even worry about damaging the self-esteem you've built apart from Him. Amen, huh? God didn't worry about that. He will tell you the truth like a good doctor. He's going to tell you that you're sick so that you'll know what treatment that you need. See, God is going to tell it like it is. And we, as the body of Christ, with each other especially, need to tell it like it is. Okay? "So I will come near to you for judgment." Second part. Genuine justice requires judgment. Genuine justice addresses sin as well, okay? And we're looking and I'm going to just read the first part of this. It says, "I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, and against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppose the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the aliens of justice, but do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty." And there's a list of these things. We might talk specifically about some of these sins, but he said, "I will come near to you for judgment against sorcerers and things like that." But as I looked at that list, and at the very end it says, "and those that do not fear me." So I think the list is kind of backwards because these sins, any sin that we commit is a lack of the fear of the Lord. I think that's the root of all sin. If we really feared God, we wouldn't sin in certain ways, okay? So really, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom, okay? So we need to fear God, and those will keep us from doing those kind of things. It says, "So I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers." And he says, "I'll be quick to testify. I see what's going on," and he's going to tell it like it is. He said, "Look, I'm not going to leave this alone." Against the sorcerers, let's look at that. The sorcerers and the adulterers and the perjurers, the sorcerers are those that practice witchcraft. And one of the things, some of y'all might think that's okay. You know, there's some things that godly people think that just drive me crazy. I don't know what makes you think that going to a fortune teller or a palm reader is a good thing for a Christian. Okay? That's not good. I don't care what anybody tells you. All right? And so stay away from those Ouija boards, all this kind of stuff. I don't know, you know, all this kind of stuff that, because what you're doing when you do that, you're aligning yourself with the satanic. Okay? And so as Christians, we have no part. We need to run from those things. We don't need to ease in there and see what it's like. Okay, we got to be careful that we don't do those kind of things. All right, adulterers. We all know sexual immorality. God does not allow sex in any other avenue except in the bond of marriage. Okay, and so for us to even consider play or whatever with that, you are messing up. Okay, and that kind of stuff's got to go. All right, and perjurers. You know, the perjurers, they swear falsely, but they're liars. The thing about a perjurer. And even all of these, they're deceivers. A perjurer is somebody who has already taken an oath to tell the truth. All right? And then right after he takes this oath to tell the truth, he's lying. So, man, that's a wicked person right there that'll look you in your face and make an oath with you and just lie behind your back. Okay, that's a wicked thing. And so, in Galatians 5:19, we read that the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. See, to us, those sins that I just talked about should be obvious. And they're all based on more than just the sins. As we talk about some of these other sins, I don't want us to focus on the individual sins and do no checklist. Like I said earlier, God wants us to have a pure heart. Okay? So it's the heart behind these sins that he's trying to deal with, as opposed to just the specific sins. Because if we start doing specific sins, we'll be here all night. Okay? So there's the heart behind these sins that God's trying to deal with. All right? And so the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. See, Paul's telling the Galatians right here, look, y'all can't live like that. You can't live with these kind of things in your life. You know, and as you look at that list, you know, there may be some kind of things that might have hit you a little bit, you know, and go over that list again. But if your life is characterized by these kind of sins, I'm going to tell you right now, you're in trouble. Doesn't mean that every now and again maybe you won't struggle with selfish ambition, envy, or things like that. But if that's the characteristic of your life, you are in trouble. And I think that he tells us that because we will not inherit the kingdom of God. And see, in these areas, these are areas that we would say that for justice to be served, God should intervene. We'll sit back and say, well, I don't do that. Get them, God. You know, have you ever done that? You're like, man, God, you need to get that person. Because they're to the wicked, you know, you need to get that person. But see, we have the tendency to focus on what others are doing without even considering our own actions. And it happens to even the best people. Because in John chapter 21, when Jesus is dealing with Peter, after they've done the miraculous catch and everything, Jesus gets Peter off to the side and he goes through that well-known passage about, Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. You know, and he goes through that and he's restoring Peter because of that. But Peter, in this intimate moment with the Lord, him and God are right beside, and he tells Peter what's going to happen in his life. And Peter says in verse 21, 22, but what about John? Peter, in a time when him and the Lord are having an intimate conversation, he worried about John. And Jesus says, you don't worry about John. I'll worry about John. And so there's a time when in this justice, in this judgment, that it's just you and God. And you've got to get your mind off other people. Have you ever been in a service and said, man, I sure wish they'd have been there? Tonight? Take it for yourself, okay? Look at yourself. We got to do some self-examination. It's time for judgment to start with the household of God, okay? So we're going to go to the next group of sins, and it says, against those who defraud their laborers, their wages. And I'm going to do that one just kind of on its own because there's some other ones. Yeah, we're going to do that one on its own because I looked at these and I was looking at these three at the beginning where those are the kind of, nah, I don't do that, you know. But then we may say something like, well, I'm not as bad as them, you know. But then God comes in here and says, against those who defraud laborers of their wages. You know, and that can mean a variety of things. And again, let's don't focus on the specific sin. Let's focus on the heart of the specific sin. And the heart here is greed. Because you ain't never going to cheat nobody out of money if you don't love money. Okay? So there's a heart that you defraud people, laborers, you know, try to cheat people out of their money. You're not going to do that if you're not greedy. So this is motivated by greed, the love of money. You're not paying people what you owe them. And so, but just don't take my word for it. Colossians 3, 5 through 6 tells us to put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, there it is again, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. See, greed's in that as well. And all of these are idolatry. And then the end of that verse in Colossians 6 says, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. So if you're a greedy person and money is the thing that drives you and the love of the money is the root of all kinds of evil, if it's money that drives you and you feel like that you need to fudge on your taxes, uh-oh, huh? You feel like you need to do that. You know, that's greed. That's a love of money, okay? And Proverbs 11:1 tells us that the Lord abhors or hates dishonest scales, but weights are his delight. See, there's a lot of things that we can talk about when you talk about money. Now, next week, Fernando's going to be talking about that, our stewardship a little bit more. But when it gets around to money, some of us just get downright greedy, okay? As a Christian, we got to deal with that. I mean, I said cheating on your taxes. One of the things that God put across in my mind, you know, and I know I'm treading on thin ice right here. But I think gambling is just as bad, okay? It's just as bad, all right? Because you know, I'm not going to get on this big gambling kick, the reason why it's good, why it's bad. But I'm going to tell you what. You ain't gambling because you want to lose money, all right? You're gambling because you want money. All right, there's that greed, there's that need to have for money. All right, and when you do that, you're actually defrauding other people. Like with the taxes, when you don't pay your taxes, you're defrauding the government officials their pay. All right, and gambling, somebody's got to lose for you to win. Okay, and so even if you can justify it, maybe it's a disputable matter for some of y'all. For me, it's not. Okay, maybe it's a disputable matter for some of you guys. But I guess ask you one question in any of these couple questions in any of these disputable matters. How does it glorify God? Okay? There's a lot of things. That's just one thing that God brought to my mind. Y'all got sins that I don't even know about. Okay? But when you're evaluating, what do I need to do about this? Does it glorify God? Okay? I'm a child of God. And even if it's something that's not bad, sometimes God prunes things out of your life on the vine because his idea is for us to produce fruit. Okay, sometimes we might have a perfectly good leaf on the end of that vine that needs to go, okay, because it's not producing any spiritual fruit. But I don't think that's the case right here. I think gambling's wrong, okay? I'm going to stand by that. Because the world may say it's okay, but genuine justice does not go with what the majority says, okay? And if you try to go with what the majority says, you're going to lose every time, because even though the world said there's 80% Christians out there, they're not, okay? They're not, or we wouldn't have the abortion issue. We wouldn't have a lot of things that we have if 80% of the people of Americans were really Christians. It would show up in our voting, okay? So don't go with the majority. I'm going to tell you what, you'll lose every time on that deal. Go to the next one. Genuine justice looks out for others, okay? See, because God is concerned about how we treat others. He came for others. We were others, okay? God came for us, all right? So how we treat others. He says, who oppress the widows and the fatherless and deprive the aliens of justice, but do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. I mean, that brings up a lot of stuff. I mean, when you see that word oppressed, I mean, I looked it up and it says to exercise power over. When we oppress the widows and the fatherless and deprive the aliens of justice. And when we put ourselves in any superiority position over somebody because of worldly standards, we have already messed up. Okay? And he's talking about the widows, the fatherless. We could go through each one of them, modern day widows. And even in biblical times, the aliens were different than what we have now too. The widows are a little different. There's some cultural difference there. But here's the thing. He's talking about the weakest, the neediest, and the most defenseless, and the most disadvantaged members of the society. See, for you and me to just not consider people who are weak, needy, defenseless, and disadvantaged members of our society, for us to just go on through our life acting like they don't exist, that's wrong. Okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, God is telling us that, and he will judge us on that. Okay? I believe that with all my heart, and I don't have to make y'all understand that, because God's word is full of it. And I was looking at it, I was like, man, God, how do I do this? He said, just read my word. It's the best information out there, okay? Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, many of us would be in the same position. The fact that I got a job and it ain't because I worked harder. It's the grace of God, okay? Yeah, and some of y'all, we try to give ourselves a lot of credit of why we're where we're at. You know, if we weren't born into the right family, we might not even have anything. Okay, so we've got to really understand that there's a difference. We cannot put ourselves above people. But then again, we can't put ourselves below people either. See, we're gonna read some stuff on the verses on the poor and stuff, but he didn't say poor. He didn't say that that's what he's talking about, just the poor, okay? He said the weakest, the neediest, the most defenseless, the most disadvantaged in our society. I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of people with lots of money in the bank need Jesus, okay? They are very needy. They're as needy as anybody that doesn't. You go to Africa and things, these people don't have nothing and they love God, you know? And here in America, man, we have everything we want. People want to shoot themselves. You know, it's just crazy. We just don't understand that, okay? So with that idea of reaching out to needy people, we can't just think of people who are under us, okay? Because in God's economy, ain't nobody under or over anybody anyway, okay? We're all equal. And so for you to say, well, I can't minister to that rich person because I don't understand them, that's just as much heresy as saying that I'm not going to deal with the person who doesn't have anything. Okay? Because here we are. We're trying to do the character of God. That's what God built us for, to reproduce his character to people. In Psalm 68, 5 through 6, speaking of God, and this is the God we're talking about. He's a father to the fatherless. A defender of the widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. See, that's the character of God. He's a father to the fatherless. We can be that, okay? And in James 1:27, and y'all can go ahead and start turning over to James chapter 2 because I want to read in there. We're going to read together in that. But James 1:27, and I'm going to tell you, it don't get any clearer than this. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. See, that's the religion that God says is blessed. Looking for orphans and widows in their distress. I mean, orphans, I mean, there's a lot of orphans out there, and we get to pick some of them up, you know, that fatherless, okay? They may have earthly fathers, but they're still fatherless, okay? There's a lot of people out there still fatherless. And so we need to keep our eyes for those. And it has nothing to do with race, socioeconomical. There's a lot of fatherless kids out there that dads work in companies as well, okay? So we've got to realize, and you know, it gets to be a big ministry. You think, man, I can't help everybody. I'm not asking you to help everybody. I'm trusting God that he's going to put whoever you need to help in your path. See, all I'm asking you to do is be obedient to what God puts in front of you. Okay? Because when God puts a need in front of you, don't just bring them to the church. Now, we want to be, that's one thing about Living Hope, Brian, here. We want to be an extension of what you do out in the community. Okay? We want to be part. We're all in this together. And if you're visiting here, I'm going to tell you, we're family here. We're tight-knit. We love each other. And if you come join us, we want to love you too. Okay? And that's just the way it is because I can't do this without them. And they can't do this without me. And I believe that with all my heart. Okay? And so that's what you're getting into. That was all free. So let's read in James 2, 1 through 13. It says, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich you are who is exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but you do commit a murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. See, if we're not mercy, God's not going to be merciful to us. We have got to exhibit God's mercy to people to receive God's mercy. And then the last part of that verse says, mercy triumphs over judgment. And that just tells me, gives me another picture of God. God don't want to judge you. God has to judge you. He don't want to do that. Mercy triumphs over judgment. He wants you to be right. Okay? He wants you to be right. But the reason that he has to judge us is that it's our fault. I'm going to read God's word again on this. 1 John 3:16-24. Y'all turn over there with me. And we're getting close to the end. And the reason I'm reading so much of God's word is because there's so much stuff in there, in my opinion, means absolutely nothing. The power is in God's word. 1 John 3:16-24. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. See, I'm not talking about a ministry opportunity here. Because we do things out in the community. And some of y'all that are here today, we got out in the community because we love people and we know God loves us. And we love God so much that we're not going to stay inside this church. We're going to go out here and try to bring people. But we're not talking about a ministry here. I'm talking about a lifestyle. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. I'm not talking about on one weekend ministry. I'm talking about this is a lifestyle. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers, okay? If anyone has material possession and sees his brother in need and has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth. See, when we do the things that we know that we really don't want to do, but we do them because we love God, because it's a lifestyle, this is how that we know that we belong to the truth. We get that faith. This is some real stuff. This ain't that fake stuff that I used to do, okay? Because God is working on me. And this is how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. So when God comes in and you've got this, you're set at peace with him, you don't have to worry about judgment because your heart is at rest when our hearts condemn. And your heart is going to condemn you, okay? Satan wants to tell you that everything that you're doing is wrong, all right? Whenever our hearts condemn us, God wants our hearts to be at rest, and that's why he addresses our sin. He wants to get rid of it. He's given us the answers to the test. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if your hearts do not condemn us, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask. See, there's a big deal there. We receive anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what he pleases. And this is his command. This is what God wants, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. See, we know it because he came near to us. The truth of the situation is when you receive Christ, the Spirit comes and takes up residence in you, okay? He's in you. He's not just near you. He's in you. And so it's that Spirit that testifies that, I'm okay, God. If you want to come judge, fine. But if you want to use me to warn somebody else, because I know you're coming, because that's the truth of the situation. Jesus has already came one time, all right? That's true. Whether you believe it or not, that's true. And whether you believe it or not, he's coming again, you know? And when he comes again, he's not coming to preach this time, okay? He's coming to take us home, okay? And so it's our job. If we got loved ones that we want to take with us, it's our job to be out there proclaiming justice, okay? You will not be real to others until God's real to you, okay? It'll never happen. And that's why I hope tonight, as you think about these things, that God becomes a little bit more real where you can trust him, because the only way that you're going to trust something, it is real, like this chair, you know? I mean, you know that the chair is going to hold you up, you know, but we got to trust God. And so I ask you tonight, is God real to you? And in regards to other people, do you even care? Ask these things to yourself. I don't need an answer from you because I'm not going to be the one to judge you, you know. but you should. And do you fear him? If you don't, you probably don't know him. So if there's not this avenue of fear of displeasing God or realizing that, you know what, God, he really expects some things out of me, and I better do them. Like my mama said, when you clean the house, you better clean the house. When I come home, there's going to be some trouble if you don't, you know. So I think it's the same concept, except God's spankings are forever. Last one, genuine justice. From a human's perspective, it doesn't make sense. So don't try to figure God out. Quit trying to figure God out. Because in Isaiah 55:8, he tells us that his thoughts are not our thoughts. And his ways are not our ways. And I learned in experiencing God, as I took experiencing God, one of the things, the principles that Henry Blackaby talks about, he said, if you can figure it out, it's probably not from God. And I found that to be true in my life, okay? Because the steps of faith that I've taken, and God has got me to where I'm at, and there's more steps that I've got to go to the next step where I'm going. Every step of faith, I couldn't figure it out. God, this ain't going to happen without you, okay? That's where God wants. He wants us to be stepping out in faith in areas that we can't do it. We all say that we want justice, but in reality, we don't. Justice as we know it will require that we go to hell. See, we say, because justice from a human perspective, we all get to go to hell. So you really don't want justice in that sense. And so from a human's perspective, even salvation doesn't make sense. Now you think about salvation. We get something for nothing. We were the vilest offender. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us when we were idiots, you know? Wrap your mind around that and receive that and receive God's grace. Because it's that grace that happens when you really get that you were messed up and God died for you. And when you really get that, it changes everything about you. You don't have to preach messages like this because you live in a lifestyle to want to please God. Okay? Don't mean you're not going to mess up a little bit here and there, but you ask forgiveness and start over. Okay? But God's grace will help you do that. And so I'm going to close in Romans 3:25. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement, talking about Jesus, through faith in his blood. And he did this. He presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, is what Romans says. That don't sound like justice, does it? That Jesus gets to die because I messed up. But in God's economy, that's justice. Because of his forbearance, he had left sins committed before unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. See, there's got to be a punishment for the sin, okay? And we serve a just God. And even if things don't work out in our life the way we intend them to do, God is just. God knows what's going on. And so genuine justice, I'm just going to close with this. Genuine justice is all about God. Okay? Just give it up to God. We need to trust him to deal with others, and we need to allow him to deal with us. Okay? So this genuine justice. And so even if you don't realize it, God is just, and you can trust him. Okay? And so tonight, maybe you don't know God. Maybe if God came back tonight, you wouldn't be ready. But you can be. You can be. All you have to do is admit that everything that you've done to this point is wrong. I mean, it's pride. It's that heart of pride that keeps us from God. Okay? You just got to admit that you're wrong. And then believe what I talked about, that Jesus came and died for your sins. And that he rose again and went to heaven and came back and to live in us. I mean, he died for our sins. We believe that. We believe that with our mind, but we also believe it with our lives, okay? We believe it in the way that we live our lives. And then you just confess. And I don't mean confess all your sins. That is one part of confession. But you live a life that shouts that you're Jesus's, okay? So all you have to do is just pray, God, I just need you. Help. You don't have to have any fancy words. But if you need some help on... cards in the back on the visitors' cards. We got the gospel. And I'm not going to try to beg anybody to come in Christ, but I'm going to tell you what, I highly recommend him. Like Butch says, I mean, he's the best thing going, you know. And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to end up in the right place. But I can't beg you into it. God has to woo you. And we prayed in our prayer time. Some of y'all here tonight may be the product of answered prayer. And I want to praise God for that. Because see, what we prayed today, tonight, we come in here, and just for y'all who don't know, that are even members, at 5 o'clock we have a prayer time. And we pray about this service. And we pray for this community. We prayed tonight that God would draw people to this place that didn't even know how they were going to get here. You know, and so God is in the drawing business, and we trust him with your justice, and we trust him with our justice. But if you need Jesus, I ask you to come. Let's pray. God, I just pray for these people, God. Lord, you know, without you wooing me, Lord, I would be so far away from you, God. And so I realize that, and I recognize that. Lord, I admit that you're the most amazing thing that's ever happened to me, God. And so I pray Lord, we release our lives to you, Lord, that we would realize that there are two sides of you, God. One that loves us, that's given us the answers to the test, God, but there's also the one that's going to require something from us. And so, Lord, I pray in this time of invitation that if anybody needs to deal with you, Lord, they'll deal with you. But we leave it up to you, God. We are not in control. It's all about you. Amen.